Revelation 2. Go over there now, Revelation 2. Revelation 2. This is a fitting message for the last day of the year, in these last days. We're here again, most of us. I look around, most of you are here that were here the very first day of this year, which was the Lord's Day. And we're doing what we did then today. We've come here to worship our Lord, haven't we? As we did in the beginning, so we're doing it in the end. May we be found doing this over and over until the end of time. That's my prayer. My prayer. Till the end of time. The Lord loves His own, and may we love Him as He loves us to the end. To the end. Ruth said this to Naomi, if I can find it. And this is the prayer of every one of God's people to Christ. She said, "Entreat me not to leave thee. Don't let me leave. Don't let me leave. Entreat me not to return from following after thee. For where you go, whither thou goest, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people, my people. This God, your God, is my God. Where you die, I die. I want to die. I want to be crucified with Christ, don't you? Crucified to the world. World to me. And there will I be buried. I want to be buried with Christ, don't you? I want to rise with Christ. I want to be with Christ. The Lord do so to me and more if anything but death keeps me from following you and coming to you." Is that your prayer? Let nothing but death stop me from coming to worship my Lord. And then that won't stop you. It's just beginning. Revelation, let's read the text, okay? Verse 1 of chapter 2, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus. Right. "These things saith he, Christ, that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He said, I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars. You've borne up under everything I've sent. You've had patience for my name's sake, my glory, my honor. You've labored, have not fainted, have not quit. Nevertheless, I have something against you. Thou hast left thy first love." Oh my, this message is so, so vital. I told Mindy on the way over here, I said, this is just a vital message for the church in these last days. Paul said this. He said, "In the last days, some shall depart from the faith, be a falling away." That's what he said. And he said over and over again in the scriptures, he said, we are partakers if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence. Steadfast to the end. If. Not saying it's up to you. He's just saying a fact that if you still believe Him, if you die in the faith, then you're a partaker. Okay? And over throughout Hebrews, he says, you're a son, you're a partaker if you hold fast the confidence. A That's Christ, holding to him fast. And rejoicing of the hope. Firm to the end. Meaning, if you ever quit rejoicing in the gospel, you're in trouble. If you ever quit loving to hear the gospel, you've left your first love. And that's a dangerous, dangerous thing. Now, if the Lord doesn't give you repentance and turn you from that, you'll leave forever. You'll leave forever. So this message is vital. And I told Mindy this also. I said, this will help your marriage. Those who are married in here, this will help your marriage. But this is not about your marriage. This is about your marriage to Christ, if you're a believer. Because you're married to another. And the time is so short. I want to help our marriages. I want to be a better husband. And I believe you do too, husband and wife. But I'm married to another, and the time is so short that very soon our husbands and wives are going to be gone, one way or another, right? And this love must remain. And it must be principle, our first love. First love. That's the title. Okay? First love. It's a message on first love and a church leaving her first love. The church, this church, this is to the church. Look at it, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church. The church at Ephesus. And this is to every church. I started to bring a message. I intended to bring seven of these letters, go through all these letters, but I couldn't get past this one. I don't know if we'll go on with these other ones or not. I don't know. If you ask me, we might. But this one is the first one of most importance. You've left your first letter. The last letter is to the church at Laodicea. And they were rich, increased with goods, in need of nothing. And they were lukewarm. And the Lord said it made him sick. They didn't have that fervent love and desire for hearing the gospel as they first did. He said it made him sick. So this one begins about losing, or not losing, mind you, leaving. It's different. All right, to the church. Now, it began, every letter is written to the angel. Who's that? That's the pastor. Angel, small letter. Angel means messenger. Okay? Messenger. It's to the pastor of the church. Every single church had a pastor. Ephesus had a pastor. That was the man the Lord sent them. That's who they needed to listen to. You know what? He's the man God sent them. He's the man who loved them. They loved him. He's the man that they needed to listen to. He had his finger on their pulse. Like a nurse sent to a patient. The Lord, when I was in the hospital, you've done the same. The Lord, they give you, they assign nurses to your case, don't they? And that nurse gets to know you and you get to know her. I don't want a him, but you get to know her, and she knows your case better than the doctor did. Paul said that one time. He said, like a nurse. You know who the church at Madisonville needs to hear more than any other? David Edmondson. You know who the church at Spring Lake needs to listen to more than anybody else? John Chapman. He's the one losing sleep over them. He's the one that loves them. He's the one the Lord sent. Pastor of the church is like a marriage too. If he's faithful, they need to be faithful. Right? The Lord sent him. He really cares for them and loves them more than anybody else. That's just so. It's so. I stayed awake last night worrying about somebody. It's to the angel. Now, everything he says to the angel he says to the church, and to the church and the angels, he needs everything that they need. He is just like them. He's a man of like passions. Can the pastor leave his first love? Absolutely. All that. Right? I'll just go ahead and tell you what happens. It's when you leave someone that you profess to love, it's always for something or someone else. Right? Right? So this is vital, mission, okay? So this is to me, and it's to you. Ephesus, don't you love Ephesians? Don't you love Ephesians? I venture to say that most everybody in here, when you first really heard the gospel, it was from Ephesians chapter 1. I started to go over there, John. I thought, now get stuck. Oh, what a place to stick. Don't you love the book of Ephesians? It's the gospel of blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according as He hath chosen us, sovereign election. Who did He choose? Who did Christ come down here to marry? Who? A lovely lady? Oh, no. A harlot! He came for her. He loved her. Blessed be His holy name. Chose us. Predestinated us. Set His love upon His people. Redeemed us with His precious blood. Forgave us everything. Frankly, freely, forever, forgiven. That's what love does, doesn't it? Oh, what manner of love the Father has bestowed. Ephesians, don't you love the wonderful book of Ephesians? By grace are you saved. Aren't you so thankful? Salvation by grace. If it's not, I'm a goner. I am the chief of sinners. I'm not preaching to you because I've risen above sin. I'm preaching Christ to you because I need Christ now more than ever. You need Him. Ephesians. Oh, don't you love the wonderful book of Ephesians? By grace you saved through faith. And even that's not of yourself. Faith's a gift of God, isn't it? There was a time I didn't believe. I didn't care. I didn't want to hear this gospel. But God, let me never grow tired of saying those two wonderful words, but God. This is my story, Ephesians. Here I am, I'm stuck. Ephesians, don't you love Ephesians? You know what? You cannot love the Lord and not love the doctrine. You can't. You cannot love God and not love His sovereignty. You cannot love the gospel, the truth, and not love His sovereign election. You cannot. But you can love election and not know and love Christ. You can. You can defend election. You can believe it with all your heart and not know God and not know Christ. I know. That's the way I was as a young boy. So you see, out of the heart are the issues of life, not the head. Not the head. If it's only doctrine, you leave. But if it's a person that you love, you can. You can. Love never fails. Faith, hope, and love, what's the greatest? No matter what happens, if you love somebody, they love you. No matter what happens, it won't end. It can't. It can't. So I hope during this message you'll examine yourself. Know you not your own self, how Christ is in you, that is a love for Him. Right, verse 1 begins, "He whom holdeth the seven stars in his right hand." And these seven stars are the churches. "He who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." Aren't you thankful our God has hands? You were in religion before, and they told you God had no hands but your hand. And you were so proud of Him for letting Him into your heart and letting Him be your God and accepting Him as your personal Savior. Now you know it's all a farce, a fake, phony. You didn't know Him at all. But now, when you found out who He was, you found out you were in His hands. You're so glad, so thankful. Aren't you glad everything's in God's hand? We don't know what the future holds, do we? This country might just completely fold. That's a very real possibility. You understand? There's no security in money and anything. This nation, if you trust the Lord, if we lose everything, we don't lose anything, really. You understand? Might be the best thing to happen to this country. That's what he said. You're rich and increased with good. You don't need anything. You don't know you're poor. You're rich materially. You don't know you're poor spiritually. Better to be poor in material things and rich in faith than vice versa. He who holdeth the seven stars. The Lord has hold of this church. I worry about this church. I lose sleep over this church, but this gives me great hope and comfort. This is not my church. So it's not up to me. That gives me such. And if you're His sheep, I can't run you off. That gives me such peace. If I could, I would. I mean, if I could have, I would have long time. Not, if you belong to Him, you can't leave. He who holdeth, he walketh among it. He said, "Where two or three are gathered together, my name, there am I, right in the middle of them." Why did you come here today? I know most of you. I believe that most of you, I really do, you came here to worship the Lord. You came here hoping, praying that you would hear from Him. You came here, you want to worship Him in spirit and truth. Don't you? You really do. You didn't come here because you're supposed to. You didn't come here because you have to. You came here because you want to. And you need to. You hunger and thirst after Christ, don't you? I know you do. I know you have. He walks among the candlestick. Verse 2, he said, "I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience. I know your works." To every single church, he acknowledges their works. Faith without works is dead. Faith worketh by love. It's not works to be saved. It's work because you're saved. It's works of love. Not legal. Oh, I have to do it. No, you want to. This is the first work. This is the work of God. What we're doing right now. Worship. That's the work of God in you. You wouldn't come here to worship if God didn't do this work in you. So, he said, "I know your works." And like a loving parent or a husband, friend, he commends them. He commends them. You love your children. Are their works, they try to please you, don't they? As do all of children that love their parents and all believers that love their Lord and try to please Him. Not to be a son, but because they are. You understand? Right? You know that it's our works, they're not merit. They're love. And you're ashamed of them. But you try. He knows that. He knows our praying. Little Sophie, when she was so little, both of them, they were hard workers and they would help me. And one time I was picking beans, and it was hot. It was in the middle of summer, August, is that when beans come in? June, July, and it was hot. We were out there. If you've ever picked beans, you know, they're prickly, and the mosquitoes were out there, and Isabella was right beside me, just picking, sweating, rolling down her face, picking. She said, Papa. She stopped and said, Papa, I'm getting itched up. I'm getting itched up. Whew. I'd like to have that back. Anyway, I said, well, honey, quit. Go back there, you know, go back up there and, you know, get in the cool, get you some lemonade, and just, you can quit. Well, she did. She went, and lo and behold, just a few minutes later, here she came back down and tore right back into pieces. I said, honey, you don't have to do that. Oh, I want to, Papa. We do this because you want to. I know your labor. I know your works. I know your patience, he said. Your patience, the trials, there have been many. And then some hard ones, haven't they? Lose a spouse. I haven't been through that. I don't want to go through that. Lose a child. I can't imagine. You have. You have. You have. All of this room. And you're still here. You're still here. His grace really is sufficient. And you know, He did this. Why? He loved you. That's what I did. If He didn't love you, He wouldn't bring you through it. And the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. He said that in chapter 3. He said, as men as I love, I rebuke, I chasten. So, you've been through these things. You've borne up. There, you know, He said this. He promised. He said, there's no trial, no affliction, nothing you've been through that others haven't been through. But with that trial, He will make a way that you may be able to bear it. Right? What is that? It's what you're doing right now. You come here to hear Him speak to you, speak peace to you, and tell you, I did this, I love you, I'm going to bring you through this. It's all for your good, isn't it? You come back again and again. Tell me now. Tell me again. I need it. Maybe you come. You bear up. Way to bear it. This is it. This is how you bear it. Read on. He said in verse 2, you can't bear them that are evil. You've tried those that say they're apostles and found them liars. Boy, don't you hate this false gospel out there. Don't you? I hate it. I hate what they're saying about our Lord. Don't you? I can't bear it. Can't bear it. If you really love your spouse, if somebody was using their name in vain and speaking ill of them, how would you, what would you do? What would you do? It'd make you angry. If you love Christ more than you love your spouse, you can't bear what they're saying about Him. You can't stand it. It's just so. And you don't want to be around those that say those things. You can't. 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 So, he says in verse 3, you've borne up under these trials, you've had patience. You know, we're waiting on our Lord. The trial of our faith worketh patience. What is that? But just we're waiting on Christ to come forth. Waiting on our Lord to come forth. He's gone. He's gone back to glory. And He said, blessed are those that wait Him. Be waiting when He comes. When's He going to come? We don't know. So what are we doing while we wait? We're waiting on Him. We meet together, don't we? I believe He's going to come when we're meeting together. That's the way He left. He said He's going to come in like manner as you've seen Him go. Who saw Him go? Everybody loved it. There were 120 people in that upper room loved the Lord, loved His gospel, loved each other. And He left. He said He's going to come back again the same way. How's He going to work it out, those in Australia and those up here at the same time? Seriously? You think that's a problem? Well, He said, you wait Him, patience, and for My name's sake you've labored. He's God. God. You're not fainted. The very first message brought to you by God's grace I brought to you in March of 1989 was from 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we faint not. You're not going to quit. We've got this ministry of the gospel for the glory of God, the glory of Christ, for the kingdom of God, for His people, and we're not going to quit. This is what we're doing by God's grace. Nearly 35 years ago, preaching this one gospel, and here we are all these years later doing this one thing. Right? Right. Not going to quit. It is nothing yet. Nevertheless, I have something against you. It's our Lord talking to you. You're His church. I have something against you. It's personal. It's against Him. He said, I have. Not this person has something against you. That person has. He said, I have something against you. This is what you're doing to me. All right? Though they're sound in the faith, He commended their faith, their patience. They're sound in the faith, but there's a serious problem. It's so serious that if He doesn't rebuke them, if He doesn't make them see this, if they don't repent and turn from it, He'll cut them off. Right? So He says, you know that? What is it? Verse 4. He said, you've left your first love. He saw it before she did. He felt it before she did. She needs to feel it. We need to feel it. He sees it long before we do. Right? He feels it. It's an affront to Him long before we are ashamed of ourselves. Long before. The messenger saw it. He told him first. And he saw it in them. Because he saw it himself. He said. And he could easily recognize it in them. He saw it before they saw it. What does he do? He warns them. He warns them. You've left your first love. And others often see it before you do. It's true, isn't it? Others first see it. You've left your first love. You don't love Him as you first loved Him. You don't hear the gospel like you first heard it. You don't hear, you don't need, you're not calling like you first called. You're not coming like you first came. You don't respond like you first responded. Anybody? Everybody. Look at what he says in verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Remember when. Anybody ever heard that Alan Jackson song, Remember When? Don't listen to it. It'll tear you up. It'll tear you up. Talking about first love. Things happen. Fall out. And thankfully, fall back in. Remember when. This is what he said. Remember when. Look back. Think back. I want you to remember, the Lord says. I want you to remember where I found you. Have you forgotten
where I found you. Now look at you where you're at now.
Think back on where I found you and what you had or didn't have. What you were when I found you. And where you are now and what you have now. How could you do this to me? Who's done so much for you? Think back now. What all the Lord has done for us. Where He has brought us. What all He's brought us through. And we don't know the half of it. Do you understand? We haven't seen His hand in every single aspect, facet, day of our lives. Restraining, constraining, withholding, protecting, giving, providing, doing, everything. Everything working together. We haven't seen it all. We just go on about our business without giving Him a thought. And He's doing it all. Watching over us. Loving, protecting, guiding, restraining, keeping you from doing what you would do if He didn't keep you from it. What the Lord has done, what you have done or not done for Him. After all these years, what can you and I say that we've actually done to pay back what He's done for us? What have we done? He says, you've left your first love. If it's true love, it's lasting love. Notice He says here, you've left your first love. Didn't say you lost it. No. You don't lose love. You leave it. You follow me? If you really love somebody, you leave it for other things. And hopefully, if it's still there, get it back. And hopefully, what I hope to show you is that love left can actually be stronger than it was in the beginning. I tell you, when you lose it, the one you love, well, you miss them more than ever, don't you? If you think there's no hope of ever seeing them again, well, you love them more than you ever, right? How could you live without Christ? Could you live without this gospel? Could you live without this church? Could you live without these people? Some have. Some do. How about you? I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to you. Do you need this candlestick? First love. Now, first love. Here's some things about first love. You know, first love, is it true that there's love at first sight? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Is it true, Joseph? Joseph's gone. Is it true, Kara? Is it true, Stephen? It's absolutely true of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you ever see Him, if you see yourself and you see Him, oh, it's love at first sight. Love at first hearing. You hear His voice. That's how you're going to fall in love with Him. You hear His voice. You see His glory. You see yourself for what you are. You see His beauty. You see your ugliness. You see what He did on Calvary's tree. You see. That's what my father-in-law said. He was listening. Finally, he said, I see. Christ actually came down here for the likes of me. How could that be? Because that's who He is. That's why. First love, first love. Love at first sight begins with you hear that person's voice and you begin to talk to that person, begin to speak to that person. You call on that person and you visit with that person and you're with them. You can't get enough of being with them. Can you? First love. Hear their voice, Mindy and I began dating. I was working on the railroad all the live long day, right, Stephen? All the live long day. Working on the railroad. I was home 8 hours and gone 24 or 36. Home 8 hours. I had to sleep 6 hours. I needed to sleep because they were calling me at 6.5 hours to go back to work. You know who I spent four of those six with? My beloved. My first love. You know, she's still with me. Amazingly. I still love that. She's my first love. But I would spend all my time with her. And it wasn't a sacrifice. It was my joy. Nothing and no one could keep me from her. I didn't have eyes for or ears for anybody but her. And that's how it is when you first hear this gospel, when you first fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, you hear this gospel, you can't get enough of hearing it. How about now? There was never a sermon too long for me. There was never a conference with too many preachers. What about now? We have meetings once a year. I tried to, you know, bring it down to, you know, three preachers, two. Last time we had one preacher. He drove 9 hours to come one way. Is that a lovely man or what? Is Bruce Crabtree worth coming to hear? He knows you. He loves you. He loves coming here. He came a long way. Some people didn't show up. You loved your first love. Man, I remember, you know, Brother John Chapman and I were such close friends, and Todd, and on and on it went. And a bunch of us, and one of us would be going out to preach, and the other one said, can we go with you? But I'll drive you. There we go. You know, didn't matter how far. We're talking about Christ all the way, worshiping when we got there, and talking about Him all the way back. What about now? Who are you talking about on the way here? Who are you talking about on the way home? There's a God Bible conference down going on down here. What happened? Repent. Do the first works. You need to go back the way it was. See what he's saying? Is this needful? Vital. First love. First love. First kiss. You remember your first kiss with the one you first loved? Well, anybody? I call your name, you'd start blushing. We all remember, though. I remember Mindy and I used to kiss till the cows came home. We just read there in Song of Solomon that let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. That means what comes from his mouth, you couldn't get enough. It's sweet to your taste. This gospel, the word, you couldn't get enough of it. Read that to me. Read it to me. You read it. You remember when you first heard, you read the Bible. Did your loved one ever write your love letters? I used to write Mindy poems. She still has them. She still reads them. Why? I guess she still loves me. That's what this is. You remember when you first heard the gospel, just read and read and read. What you want him to say is to say unto my soul, you're my salvation. Tell me that you came for me. Tell me that I belong to you. You read and read and read. I read New Park Street pulpit. Every word. Have you looked at that book? It's fine print. They're this thick. I couldn't get enough of it. I started in Metropolitan Tabernacle. Read Bunyan, Gill, Spurgeon, you name it. Read, read, read. Couldn't get enough. Hungry. Love this. What happened? Has he changed? Has the gospel changed? Need changes. Love grows cold. Grows cold. Love, first love, you can't spend enough time with that person. You never tire hearing their voice. You call on them, don't you? Call on them. Call on them. I got to hang up. No, wait. Anybody? I got to go. Wait, don't go. You still call on the Lord. Do you? has said, true love is not lost, it's left, forsaken. What for? Always. It's always for something, someone else. And you tell me, every single married couple in here, if you did not go through, maybe going through, a time where you, at first all you were living on is each other. That's all you needed, wasn't it? You didn't need a fancy house. You didn't need anything. You just needed each other. You're living on each other. Man go to work, he couldn't wait to get home. He's not going to go out with the guys. Right. He's going to come home to his loved one. All right. But in time, what happens? Things. Stuff. Begin to accumulate stuff. Takes up your thoughts. Takes up your time. Takes up your efforts. You begin to think about those things. You have to work a long time to keep those things. And you spend all your time accumulating and taking care of and keeping things. And you leave the one in it. It's always good. You know, we all live in this world. We enjoy the things of this world. But our Lord told us, He warned us, love not the world, nor the things of the world. That means the people of the world. It means the things of this world. Because He said, God said, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you love anyone or anything more than Jesus Christ, the love of the Father is not in you. But we can get caught up in these things. Even His bride, even His people can get caught up in the things of the world and get sidetracked by people and things in the world. And they draw away our hearts from Him whom we love. And rather than leaving them for Him, we leave Him for them. Is that not right? Whereas before, we leave everyone and everything to go worship the Lord. No, I got to get there. We come early. We stay late. What happened? Satan is the god of this world, and there's nothing he desires more, and the thing he endeavors to do more than anything else is take you away from Jesus Christ and His people. And He'll use people and things to do it. He's a master. You left your person. What's our hope? Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ's blood and His righteousness. Our hope is in Him. Our hope is that He loves us. You know that? We love Him. Yes. Why? Because He first loved. Listen to me, brother. If He first loved you, He'll never quit loving you. I got a little Pentecostal on you last Sunday. I'm sorry. Forgive me. But I asked some of you to say amen, but I'll just say it myself. Hallelujah. If He really loves me, He won't let me go. And how He does that is what I'm doing right now. He does it through His angel, through His word. Let the righteous smite me. Wake up, honey. She said, I'm sleeping. I can't get up. Don't sleep the sleep of death like others. Wake up. Don't you see what you're doing to Him whom your soul loves? How could you do this to Him? Don't you love Him? Don't you appreciate His love for you? You've left Him. He didn't leave you. Oh, I hope He'll wake us up, don't you? He says, repent. Look at verse 5. Remember from when you fall, do the first work. Repent. Every single one. Repent. 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 What's repent mean? What's repent mean? Well, repentance is godly sorrow. It's sorrow towards God. It's everything you do is against Him. And repentance is personal. Against thee and thee only have I done this evil. It's nobody else's fault. Well, this so-and-so did this to me, and so-and-so did that to me. Well, she said this to me. Well, that preacher, I'm mad at him. So you're going to take it out on God? No, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight against thee. I've left you. It's nobody's fault but mine. That's repentance. It's godly sorrow that needeth not to be repented of. It never changes. You realize that all the evil, everything in your life that's happened to you, most of it you've caused. You've caused it. But God, so good, so loving, so gracious, keeps loving you. When you take it out on this person, that person, no, it's not them, it's you. I have something against you, he said. Repent. It's repentance toward God. Sure, we need to ask others forgiveness, but it's, principally it's against him who loved you and gave himself for you. Repentance is a heart broken over what? Sin. Whose sin? My sin. Self. You know what sin is principally? It's self-love. I love myself. Hardness of heart. That's what repentance is. Repent over your hardness of heart. Cold. Thy love to thee so cold, so faint, and thy love to us so great. Come, Holy Spirit. Help me. Dear Lord, and shall we ever live at this poor dying rate? Newton wrote that poem, "'Tis a point I long to know. It gives me anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or do I not?" What's wrong with me? Left you first minute. Now look at this, and I close. He said, do the first works. Look at verse 5, and I quit, okay? Do the first work. Repent. Turn from this course. Turn from the course of the world. Turn from the world. Come out from among them. Come back to Christ. Do the first work. You know, we're not saved by works, don't you? We're not saved by works. He's not talking about work to get saved. You know that. We don't come by works, we come by faith. That's how we saved us. And these are works of faith and labors of love. This is what love does. Do the first works, all right? Here, as I said, this will help our marriage. But I'm talking about being married to Christ. All right, when you first heard the gospel, you couldn't get enough of hearing it. You couldn't get enough of hearing it. And when our hearing becomes dull, when we become dull of hearing, and I see it, most everybody in here is an open book. Very transparent. I look at you. I know you for years. I can tell when you're not hearing. You know, we ought to hear this gospel now more keenly than we've ever heard in our life. You know, we're bigger sinners than we were when the Lord first found us. To whom is forgiven much or loved much. We ought to hear this gospel, brother, like it's. We've sinned against love. We've sinned against mercy. We've sinned against such grace. We ought never hear the gospel again. He ought to just say, I've taken it from you. You don't deserve to hear this. Right? Do the first work. What's that? Hear, and your soul will live. Hear, and your soul will love. The only reason you won't hear is you start hearing and listening to other things. Turn it off. Turn it off. And listen to his voice. Turn off all the voices. Stop listening to these things that are drawing you away from him. Time alone. You know what to help your marriage? Marriage to one another and marriage to Christ. Time alone. When you first were married, who do you want to spend all your time with? Huh? You know, we live in a generation that can't stand to be alone. People can't stand to be quiet, silent, alone. had turned something on, you know. Wow, conscience. Jacob learned a great lesson alone. Jacob was left alone. What happened? The Lord came and wrestled. Got him down. Blessed him. He said, don't let go. He said, I'm not going to let go. Time alone. Wrestling with the Lord. Talk. When you, as you husband and wife, you quit talking to one another, you're going to lose that first love. In the beginning, you talk, communicate. You're attentive. You're listening. You're interested. You're interested in what the one you love says. You're interested. You're interested in them. And self-love wants to hear self talk. Oh, my. I'm alone. Flowers. Tokens of love. Our Lord doesn't need flowers. Nothing. You know, flowers. You women just love to receive flowers. They do. But not just at Valentine's Day. You're supposed to. It's when it's not expected and you've gone out and not, you know, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, here's some roses at Kroger. Here, honey. Oh, I love you so much. No, that was real convenience. You go out in the field, you see some flowers, and you think of them, you pick these wildflowers, make this bouquet come in. Did your children ever come to you with some daisies? Did they ever come to here, Mama? Oh, honey. Our Lord didn't need flowers. You know what we render unto Him? Food of our lips. How did you sing these songs when the Lord first, when you first heard the gospel? How did you sing Amazing Grace? That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. You know what? You don't realize, he said to Laodicea. You're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now! Flowers, fruit of our lips, tokens of love, work, labor. Jacob worked for Rachel for how long? 14 years. You mean, what if your father said, you can't marry my daughter, then you work 14 years? You know what it says? You know what it says? It was like a day. It wasn't too long. It wasn't too hard. It wasn't labor at all. He said, when it's all over, he said, now can I marry her? Yes, now. Oh, I've been waiting for this day. What about giving? What about supporting the church? What about laboring? What if we have work days? It's God's house. But we work together. Not labor. Necessary. Gifts. Gifts. Give. Love is extravagant. That's too much. You can't. You're giving too much. You can't give too much. That's not possible. What's the word? That's a. I forget. You can't give too much. You can't love too much. You can't. Gifts. If absent, you call, you write. Do the first works. Do the first work. If not, he said, I'll take your candlestick. What's that? The light of the gospel. You know, a preacher is a candlestick. He's a star. There's a few churches right now without pastors. And they can't find one. I know you got a sorry one, but you got one. It's a blessing. He'd take it. He'd take it. But it goes on to say, you write this down. Now, he that hath an ear to hear, verse 7, let him hear. Did you hear this? I hope so. It's to the churches. And if you're his church, if you belong to him, his bride, you'll hear. You'll repent. You'll do the first work by his grace. And he said, you'll overcome. Overcoming. Remember, Jacob wrestled. Overcoming, or being overcome, involves a fight and conflict. It's a warfare. It's effort, right? It's a struggle. That's what overcome means. You either overcome or you're overcome. Struggle. To him that overcometh, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. I would that all of you give the same diligence. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. And hopefully, by his grace, you'll never leave. And that love will be stronger in the end than it was in the beginning. Looking unto him. Okay. Let's sing a closing hymn.